Can you believe we're 3.5 weeks away from getting this thing going?
No, man. We talked about it before. It's whenever I remind my friends that just get me through the season, just get me through signing day, just get me through June. You know, it's the never-ending game, I guess, I play with my family and friends. But we will get a couple weeks here, right? A couple weeks of downtime between now and then.
We got a couple, and that's about it. Hey, congratulations. Great job on covering the WBC heavyweight championship fight. I thoroughly enjoyed following you on Twitter and reading your coverage out there. How much fun was that? You cover a lot of big events. You covered national title games and things like that, but I've got to think this one was very, very different for you.
Yeah, it was definitely unique. Not only covering boxing, which I've done before. I grew up in Pensacola and covered some of Roy Jones Jr.'s fights. Of course, he's from there. But the cover fight in Vegas, just the atmosphere was really cool. And it's a cliche to say there was sort of a buzz in the arena, but there definitely was, and it's different than covering a fight in Biloxi or in another just sort of random place. I mean, I've covered a fight with Deontay in Atlantic City. And I've covered one in San Juan in Vegas. And obviously it was the one with the biggest stakes and had the most attention. So naturally it should have a little more buzz to it. But it was pretty cool. I mean, everybody standing up, the entire arena standing up between every round, sitting down for 1 minute like the fighters were, getting a break for a minute, and then standing back up, throughout the round, especially as it got later. So not only that, it was a great fight, especially for Deontay Wilder, who was rather clinical, really, in terms of the way he was able to handle Stavern and do a lot of things that people either haven't seen in question or a lot of people assume he couldn't do because he hadn't done it yet.
That was one of the things that was, and I watched some of the replay last night going into it. Nobody thought this could possibly go six rounds, let alone the full 12. How stunned were you, and did you think it was to Deontay's favor as you got past that sixth round?
Yeah, I think especially once he got out of the sixth. I think Stavern landed his best punch of the night in the sixth, and then obviously you start to think in your mind, Deontay hasn't been this many rounds, and now Stavern has a pretty good round there in the sixth. Can this start to, can you see the momentum change here? But then Deontay has that flurry in the seventh, which was his best other, in the second round, it probably should have been a knockdown when I think Stavern got lucky in the fact that when he fell, because he was stunned, he fell into Deontay, which made it look more like a trip or something inconsequential. But if you watch closely at the end of the round in the second, you see Stavern, fall on his butt and then try to get back up after the bell's already rung and he's wobbling, So I think that probably should have been a knockdown in the second. But the seventh, all three judges scored a 10-8 and without a knockdown. And that is, I don't know that I've ever covered a fight that somebody's won 10-8 in a round without knocking somebody down. That's how dominant Deontay was in the seventh. So once he took a hit in the sixth, came out as the aggressor in the seventh and really looked like he had Stavern on the brink of a knockout, then it was sort of you knew he was in control of the fight, and it was just a matter of not getting knocked out or taking a big shot, and he should be fine. But I was even more impressed. You further in the fight, eighth round, ninth round, tenth round, 11th round, even Wilder was the aggressor. Not only was he, hey, I think I got enough rounds to win, let's bide our time here and be patient. He was the aggressor in each one of those rounds until he got to the 12th, which obviously he had no motivation to try to hit a home run in a fight that he already had in hand. Like I said, and I asked Deontay about it after the fight, is it vindicating in a way just personally after there's been so many questions about all these things you couldn't do and him being able to do all those things, is it a little more vindication for you? And he admitted, he said, look, I understand why people question it because I haven't had to do it. But now there were people that took it a little further and just said he couldn't. And I think he felt vindicated in that regard. But He definitely answered questions, and I think that was the theme. And as I've told a lot of people already, I think, and I wrote about it in the paper on Monday, I think he actually proved more in a 12-round decision fight than he ever could have proved in the third round or fourth round. Everybody would have said, well, he got lucky, he caught Stubborn clean, you know, can he still go rounds, can he do all these things, can he box? So not only did he get the win, did he get the belt, but I think it was the most vindicating result of all to go 12 rounds the way he did. I certainly didn't expect it, and Chris, I would have put a few dollars each on the decision at whatever crazy number it was if I felt like I had an inkling.
D.C. Reeves joining us, as all of our guests do, on the Bud Light Hotline presented by Green Beverage. D.C., of course, covering Alabama and boxing for the Tuscaloosa News and TideSports.com. One of the things that and you got a great piece in the Tuscaloosa News now and on the site about the plan for this. And so many of the things you talked to us about on Friday leading into the fight played out. And to say that it went according to script, it's almost exact, isn't it, to how they – other than perhaps knocking him out, I mean, the manner in which he went about the fight went basically as all of his handlers had planned.
Exactly, yeah. He executed the game plan. Now, certainly, and I had talked to Mark Breland, his trainer, who's done a fantastic job, and, of course, JD's, they're sort of co-training him, who's been with Deontay, of course, since day one. Talked to both of them, and I mean, I talked with Mark on Friday, and he even said, hey, we think we can stop him, you know, basically, you know, beat him up enough to stop the fight by just using the jab. So Deontay did exactly to a T what his training staff had said, not after the fact. I mean, these were things that they were saying, and conversations I'd had with them before the fact of what they wanted to do. But I think the only thing that did prevent a knockout or a stoppage is that Severn was pretty darn good taking a punch and taking a beating. I mean, as they got later into the round, later rounds, 8, 9, 10, 11, you know, both of Severn's eyes are swelling up, and, you know, and everybody knows it's pretty well documented how hard Deontay hits, and he was landing more than just jabs even later in the fight, and Severn wouldn't go down, so you got to give him credit for that, but. Yeah, using the jab, 420, he threw 35 around. You average that out, that's a jab every 5 seconds for all 12 rounds. Very, very good use of that, and it really did split Severn's gloves almost every time. That was a big part of it. Their training regimen, they sort of switched up. The fact that Deontay Wilder stays in shape the entire year is a big benefit. They were able to spar 1 week and then take a week off and correct mistakes and spar another week and take a week off. Most boxers just spar 4 straight weeks and then they go fight. So they were sort of extended out that camp because he was already in really good shape. And you have to think that perhaps helps when you talk about being able to go 12 rounds. So Severn, I think, you know, he was very patient early on. I think he was going to wait. And I mentioned in the story, I think that their strategy was to let Wilder work out a lot of that energy and then, hey, let's bring him to the 7th, 8th, 9th round where he's never been before and see how good a fighter he is. And I think that was a smart strategy. I would have done the same thing if I was Severn. Why not? It's just the problem was Deontay proved that he could do it.
In terms of marketability for Deontay and for the sport, as big as his ability to box, as big as his ability to go 12 rounds, he did it with a little flash, too. I mean, you saw the personality come out. There were some flashes that were reminiscent of Ali. There were some things that reminded me of Sugar Ray Leonard, smaller fighter. But there was some of that magic that kind of came out that made that fight seem really special, especially comparing it to the guys that made the sport so well known, so famous. Am I reading too much into that, or was that kind of the feeling there in the building?
Yeah, I mean, the feel of that and the excitement of him in the ring, certainly comparable. Obviously, we both know had a long way to go to accomplish some of the things that those guys have accomplished. But, hey, people have asked me probably on Twitter maybe 10 times since the fight, you know, how much money did he make and all that, or, you know, some people stopped me in the airport. And Deontay made $1 million for the fight, you know, and when you fight in Nevada, they make that public. He made $1 million for the fight. But as I keep telling people, he made $1 million today. He made multi-million dollars starting the time he put that belt on. And I'll have a big story on it in the paper on this coming Sunday, sort of what's next for Deontay, not only opponent, but their are a lot of things in play, from his promotion, from who's you know, TV contracts, potentially HBO and Showtime. He's not really obligated to a whole lot of things right now, which is very good for him and very good for his business. So the sky is the limit in a lot of ways for Deontay, and timing has been really, really good to him. A lot of things in play right now in terms of big fights, in terms of building his brand, in terms of just leverage that he'll have financially with a lot of different decisions he's got coming up. It's a great time to be Deontay Wilder, not only in the ring, but out of the ring, I think, right now.
Saturday, do you know any details yet? I know there's supposed to be a parade, but have you heard anything definitive yet?
No, I have not. The second I do, we'll have a story. Just check at TexasWoodsNews.com, or you can follow me on Twitter. I'll update it. I do know obviously it's 100% fact it is on Saturday. No details yet, but I would imagine by tomorrow, obviously, we'll have something. I've heard even an inkling that perhaps Showtime might be sending a TV crew down. I don't know that for sure yet, but I know that was something they had been interested in doing, so that would be cool. I don't know what they would use it for, what avenue, but anyway, yeah, so Showtime, who put on the fight,
right,
they might have a crew down to get a little film of the parade.
Phil Zeid saying, let me get a quick thought from you on Alabama football, but I know this has been more of a news story that Stephanie Taylor has covered for the Tuscaloosa News, but no change in the last hour or so on the story involving Ryan Anderson?
Yeah, it sort of seems like as close to a non-story as possible. I think people, especially this day and age in the NFL, with you start to hear domestic violence charges, you had to think there was something more to it when the charges came out, but we didn't have any details, and the fact that it was only a third-degree misdemeanor, it does come out that, you know, it sounded like he had an argument with a woman. She threw something at his car, he kicked her car, so it was a kicking of a vehicle. There was no, again, we assumed domestic violence to be, hitting another person, but apparently it was not that. I can't imagine that there's going to be a whole lot of punishment to be coming down for a guy that, he's hadn't had any issues this past year or anything like that. So, I think it's just the buzzword of domestic violence that seemed to ruffle some feathers early on. But now that we have some details, it's certainly not as bad as it initially sounded.
All right, so while you're out west, you didn't cross paths in an airport with Lane Kiffin, did you? He's still in Tuscaloosa.
I was looking, but I didn't see him. I guess he probably can get something direct, right, out of San Francisco if he was out that way. No, I do know he's recruiting as of this morning for Alabama. So now there's plenty of guys who have been recruiting and then taking jobs. Don't get me wrong. That doesn't tell you one thing or the other. But it is a good sign that he is on the road and that Nick Saban is trusting enough in the fact that he might still be around that he is sending him out on the road to talk to an Alabama recruit. So I think that's really the only tea leaves we have to go on at this point. And so you asked me a few weeks ago, is there going to be that much change? And I'm like, not really. And now, like 19 coaches later, and here we are.